Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and my guest this week is Dr. Paul Yudici. He's the inaugural regional chair of internal medicine and all medicine subspecialties for the central region of Hackensack Meridian Health Network. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Joel, and thank you so very much for the honor of being on your show this morning. It is a great opportunity to share not only what great things are happening at JFK University Medical Center, but in our region, and most importantly, for the people who live here. And I'm one of those people, along with most of my family, live in this area. So this is very important and personal to me that we have the best care provided to the people who live here, and we take advantage of all of the new innovations and the new technology and the new treatments that are out there for the people who live in our community.
Yes, and we want to talk about all of that. But when I introduced you, very long title there, you do a lot. It sounds like a lot of responsibility. How many hospitals are you involved with?
So the central region of Hackensack Meridian Health Network includes JFK University Medical Center, Raven Bay Medical Center, Old Bridge Medical Center, Bayshore Medical Center in Holmdale, and also includes the Johnson Rehabilitation Institute and Carrier Clinic. So the area fits into what our mind would think of the central part of New Jersey and the community that it serves. So those hospitals each are excellent and have tremendous support and ability to manage patients. Among my responsibilities is to make sure that every one of them not only does the best we can always be better, and everyone strives for that, but just as importantly, to make sure that the community knows that if a particular institution doesn't have a particular type of care mm-hmm. at their local hospital, there's another hospital in our region as part of our system that they can use to get the care that they need. I want to make sure that we are a family, not a bunch of individual hospitals. So my responsibilities are to not only raise the level of care and provide services that previously might not have been available to mm-hmm. people in this community, but to also make sure that everyone knows if you can't buy that thing here, the store down the block has it and we can get it for you.
Okay, so what are some examples of that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We are in the process of developing a few different centers of excellence. Let me share what that means.
Okay.
You know, we used to be able to go to individual stores and buy individual things. Places, for good or bad, like some of the big box stores, now have most of the stuff one needs for a particular project. So centers of excellence are the idea that we would like to provide all the care in a particular area in one place so that you, Joel, or I, or our families, and the people in the community don't have to make multiple different appointments in different places on different mm-hmm. days to get a diagnosis and get something taken care of. So one of those centers of excellence that we're developing now is a center of excellence in airway and thoracic and pulmonary diseases. So basically everything from your chin to your belt, to your mid-belly,
okay.
That region. So the chest, really, we think about the lungs, but really there's much more than just the lungs in our chest. There's also an esophagus, so part of our GI tract. We'd like for a person who has a problem anywhere in that region to be able to go to one place, figure out what's going on, and leave with a plan to figure out what's going to be done to help them. So that center of excellence provides all the components, all the expertise, and all the equipment. Now, we can't have a center of excellence at each of the hospitals because that duplication becomes impossible to find the kind of experts and the technology mm-hmm. in place at each one. So if we have that available at one of the hospitals in the central region, JFK University Medical Center, for example, then people who live in Holmdale and go to Bayshore can see their doctor, and that doctor there can say, you know what, I'd like you to follow up with these individuals because they'll help us figure out what's going on mm-hmm. and what we can do. And I'll delve into some of the technology in a bit that is groundbreaking and very important to the care of patients. But the idea of a center of excellence for airway, pulmonary, and thoracic is one example. Another example that we can talk about is, and very important in our community and on the news regularly, is management of diabetes and obesity. So a metabolic center of excellence is another great example of a more comprehensive approach to a big problem that unfortunately is becoming bigger in our country, in our children, and in our friends and family. So developing, in the process of developing a metabolic center of excellence, which is composed of a number of different pieces that includes both endocrinologists that are specialists in managing endocrine disease, such as diabetes, but more than just that, helping us choose better pathways in life and diets, and giving us the opportunity to think about and look into surgical interventions that can be very helpful in managing both diabetes and obesity. So those are just two. There are others we can talk about as well, if you'd like.
Well, and speaking of the diabetes, for instance, there are different ways to treat it. Are those different ways, can they be found at all at some of the different locations you speak of, or would one location just concentrate on that specifically?
For me and for my goals, people living in the communities that I've mentioned for any of those hospitals should be able to begin the pathway to improving their health at any of those hospitals. If there's specialty management that needs to be provided, it is probably not best to provide the same management at all hospitals because it can be very complex. And we want expertise, not only physician expertise, but nursing care and other expertise, be concentrated so that when a person takes advantage of those opportunities, they walk away in the best position and shape they can be. So while starting the pathway can occur at any hospital, some hospitals will have advantages over others because they will have expertise that not everyone has.
Right.
And they will have it
right.
More local.
Right. So yeah, and so you would then funnel them there, which makes sense. You mentioned that earlier. What are some of the other? You mentioned two. What are some of the others that are in the network?
So the metabolic center and the pulmonary thoracic airway center of excellence, but the GI center of excellence, and there's, believe it or not, there's overlap between all three of those, and so it's probably worth talking a bit about the value of having not only these centers of excellence, but I will go back to what I said earlier and something I think most of the audience, because we are who we are. Most of the audience will appreciate, and that is we need to be a family. And by that, I mean we need to be so intertwined, so collaborative with each other, and so familiar with what we can each do for the other, that if I can't do that, I know who can, and I'm going to call that person so we can do it together. And so just let me give you a bit of background that I think will be helpful to your audience and certainly helpful to my family. I come from a family of people who do real work for a living. And by that, I mean people who swing hammers or mix concrete or empty garbage cans or put roofs on houses. My family are people who do manual labor for a living. And some of them do roof work. Some of them pour concrete. Some of them put up studs. Some are plumbers and others are electricians. And every one of them is just as important as every other because no house can be built if you don't have all of those experts and all of that skill working on a single house.
Right.
So
that's
family to me.
Yeah.
And I spent my life as a roofer working my way through school. But I could do a little bit of the other stuff as well. And medicine is very similar to that. Many of us know a little bit about a lot and are experts in something. But the best part of working together is exactly that. Saying, well, I do this very well, but Joel Katz does this better, and I'd like to give him a call, and we can work together to get you better on this problem. Mm-hmm. So the three centers of excellence I mentioned, airway, pulmonary, and thoracic, and GI or gastrointestinal center of excellence, and metabolic center of excellence, each and of themselves have a particular focus and area in which they can improve life and care and health and happiness, because we can do more and do less at the same time. And I'd like to come back to that because it sounds conflicting, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But together, those three can help a person who has a problem with diabetes and obesity by doing interventions in combination, the endocrinologist, the metabolic specialist, the gastroenterologist, GI surgeons, and thoracic surgeons together can do things together to improve the life and outcome of somebody with diabetes and obesity, because those two problems so often go together. So in treating one, we can treat both. Mm-hmm. And in treating both, we can not only have people live longer and healthier lives, but I can speak from experience, both with patients and with friends and family, and I bet many in the audience could as well, that the improvement in life by taking advantage of those kinds of experts and the changes in life they bring also improves happiness and satisfaction. So living longer is nice, living healthier is good, but living longer, healthier, and happier is best. And that's really our goal.
Right, right. So I apologize. When I introduced you at the beginning, I didn't include roofer in your title.
Well, I know that my accent might give me away, but I grew up in Brooklyn, and roofer, and some of the best life experience came from working for my uncle and his business as a roofer. It was one of the best educational opportunities about life in general and about people. And I will thank him for the rest of my life for the education he gave me.
I can concur with that because it wasn't family, but I worked from the age of 12 through the time I went to college at the local hardware store. And the amount of knowledge that I gained during that time, and I'm still in touch with the owners, they're since retired, and when I think of it, it was priceless for me to work there. The luck that fell upon me that I was able to fall into that for all those years, knowing that it wasn't going to be a career, was just amazing to me.
I could not agree with you more. Life experience is there is no substitute for that type of life experience.
Exactly. Can you give an example maybe how when someone goes to one of the doctors for any reason, whatever the issue is, and they think that the reason for the issue is one thing, so they go to this one doctor, but then when they visit the doctor, they say, well, no, this is your issue, but you need to see this type of doctor because I think this is what it is.
That's an excellent opportunity to talk, and this will be, I'll be able to apply this to other areas, but let's talk about going to the doctor for a cough.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
all
that we've been through for the past few years, all of us are coughing in one way, shape, or form, more frequently than ever before. And most of us will just shrug our shoulders and say, it's just a cough, it's a virus, or maybe I'm still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, we might seek the help of a doctor because it's just not going away, and I'm just not feeling good. And that doctor in the office could be your general medical doctor. It could be a lung specialist. I'd say, let's get an X-ray or even a CAT scan to see what's going on. And here's where the changes that have occurred in the care that we can provide are simply astounding and wonderful and excellent.
Okay.
Because after that X-ray and or that CAT scan, if something was seen, some small thing was seen that might be concerning, the options in the past would be to wait and see if it changes, if it grows, if it gets worse, or to do an operation, and operations on the chest can be big things, to do an operation to get a piece of it, to see if it's just a scar tissue from an old infection in the past,
mm-hmm.
Or an infection that's ongoing now that we could treat with antibiotics, or something worse like cancer, or something in between like pre-cancer. So a big operation to figure out, it might be nothing, but it might be something serious. Today's technology and these centers of excellence and the expertise that we can now bring here and utilize, we can now take that same situation in many people, and instead of doing an operation to take a piece of lung and then having the recovery that's required, we can then instead give a person some light sedation so they're sleeping peacefully, use a scope similar to what we use for endoscopies, it's called a bronchoscope, and with some advanced technology and computer work and a robot, we can have that scope get very far into the lung and get a small piece of whatever that might be,
mm-hmm.
and figure out from that small piece what next steps need to be taken, whether it's just old scar tissue, nothing needs to be done, or an infection, treated properly with the right antibiotics, or precancerous, and maybe that's enough in taking it out, or then speak with the surgeon about doing a small operation to take out a small piece, or learn that it's something worse, and then confer with the surgeons, the thoracic surgeons, and the cancer specialists about what other things can be done and should be done to limit the amount of surgery that's needed,
mm-hmm.
While still helping that person to recover, get better, and go home. So the technology, the expertise that we now have available allows us to do much more than we once did before by doing less. And I'd like to, going back to your life experience and my own,
uh-huh.
If one of our children dropped something through a vent behind the wall, and it was something we had to retrieve, we had to get it back because it was very important. Long ago, we would have to take the wall down to mm-hmm. find out where it is and get it out. And that's pretty much what we had to do with spots on the lungs in the past.
This is a great example. Yes, please continue.
Yeah, now we can use a vent that might be in that wall or an electrical outlet that might be in that wall, take off the faceplate, and use a small scope to travel between the beams down the wall and see where that, whatever it was that was dropped down through the vent, wherever it is. And those same scopes that we can look through the wall also can have be fitted with devices to grab whatever was dropped
mm-hmm.
and pull it out without having to make any holes in the wall. And if we did have to make a hole for that scope, we're making a tiny, tiny little hole about the diameter of a pen or a pencil instead of having to take a wall down. And that's an amazing improvement because I don't know about your experiences, but boy, I can't tape a seam on sheetrock. My brother's an expert. I'm terrible. So if I have to take a wall down, it's not a problem to put the sheetrock back up, but the mess that I leave behind uh-huh. and the amount of work that needs to repair it is just terrible. And that's like recovering from a big surgery that might not be necessary. Sometimes whatever it is, the wall does need to come down. But that's so much so less frequent than it once was because of the new technology, the new techniques, the new expertise, and the new training that we provide to our colleagues and to each other that allows us to do what we once couldn't do without great effort.
Yeah, I usually need to tape. I need to spackle and sand at least three times to get it looking okay.
Yeah, I believe that you're far better than me. That three times is not nearly enough for me.
Yeah, the corners are tough, but I mean, just talking about a regular hole. But yeah, that's a great analogy because when you're talking about the human body, you're not talking about a wall. A wall can be repaired. I mean, if you cut open a wall, and I'm using that term intentionally, you can make it look like the cut was never there. But in many cases, a big cut in the human body, there's going to be scarring, and it makes a big difference.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And again, there will be time when there is no choice but to do that.
And healing.
But it's less frequent than it once was, again, because of the expertise and technology that we now have at our fingertips. And most people will who've lived enough will remember when a heart attack meant having open heart surgery for everyone all
mm-hmm.
the time. And that was in the 80s and 90s. And in the 90s, it became, well, a heart attack, we might be able to do a cardiac catheterization and open up that artery. Now that's what we do most of the time. Yes, people sometimes still need open heart surgery, but much more frequently we can open up those heart vessels, put a stent in, put you on medication, and have you home tomorrow or the next day. Applying all of that to other areas of the body in a similar way really is where we are in 2023.
Yeah, let's go back to the 80s then, because you just explained how quickly one heals today. What was the same procedure healing time 40 years ago in 1983, let's say?
Oh, the expectation was that after open heart surgery, a person would be on a ventilator for days. After getting off a ventilator or a respirator, so a breathing tube, after being off that, being in the hospital a week or two, if things went very well, and then recovering over months because the surgery for that back then was so extensive, and because it was so painful, and because it affected everything in the chest, people were disabled, and by that I don't mean wheelchair-bound, but unable to do the things that they enjoyed for weeks and months before they felt well enough to start getting closer to where they were before it all started. Today, if we exclude the surgery, because we can do so much more without doing plastic surgery by opening up the chest, now those same people can have their, again, heart arteries opened, coronary arteries opened up in many cases within an hour of coming to the hospital. That's the goal.
It's amazing.
Wind up never on a breathing machine, never on a ventilator, and up and walking around the next day, and then home the next night or the day after that. So, and feeling as if nothing had ever happened because they didn't have their breastbone cut open. They didn't have all of the muscles cut open. And they didn't have their lungs and heart manipulated from the outside, where we were never created to have our organs manhandled.
Right. So the survival rate, the percentage has got to be astronomically higher than it was then.
Not only the survival rate, but the satisfaction, mm-hmm. the recovery, and the happiness at the end, right? My goal is to get people home with their families where they belong as soon as possible and have them living longer, healthier, and happier lives. Because if you and I went home and we were miserable and in pain, that's pretty tough to endure day mm-hmm. after day. I want you to feel better and be home with your family and get to that game on Saturday that you have with your daughter. That would be that would be the goal, right? That would make all of what we do worth it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different, we could talk about a million different reasons. It's so much better now, and all the advances that Hackensack Meridian Health Network has accomplished to make life so much better for those in Central Jersey and in New Jersey.
That there is no doubt. Hackensack Meridian Health Network throughout really is truly dedicated to embracing the most advanced care. And with that most advanced care comes some of the very things we've just discussed, and that is, how can we do more by doing less? How can we give people better lives without being so aggressive and invasive? And again, there are certainly circumstances where there is no other choice. That is the best management, to do open heart surgery or mm-hmm. to open up or to have to do surgery on the chest to take out something that needs to come out. Those reasons and those procedures are just as important today as they were in the past for certain individuals. But thankfully, because we have such valuable new technology and expertise, we have alternatives that we never did before. And those alternatives, in some cases, in fact, in many cases, are just as good, if not better.
Dr. Paul Yodici, thank you so much. It's really been a pleasurable experience and very educational, at least for me it was.
And it's been my honor. I would love to do this again because there is so much good to talk about here in the Central Region at JFK University Medical Center and throughout the network. And really, your goal and mine is to have everyone live longer, happier, healthier lives, and frankly, to put me out of business as a critical care doctor. If all of us do a great job, I'll be fishing more because you won't need my help at all.
That's great. Doctor, thank you so much.
Have a great day, and thank you.
You too, and I'll call you for that roof.
All right. Very well. Be well. Thanks.
That is Dr. Paul Yodici, the inaugural regional chair of internal medicine and all medicine subspecialties for the Central Region of Hackensack Meridian Health Network. Such a pleasure to have him on the program. For more information, you can go to jfkmc.org. For a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health. It's brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. We'll talk to you next week.